It's such an honor to bask in your presence and to gaze upon your beauty in this holy place. We enter this word with the same attitude of reverence and worship, fully conscious of the limitations of our human minds to deliver and as well as to receive the infinite wisdom of God that has been compressed into the written word. So we need your great help, Father, and assistance. Anoint me afresh that I might speak as I should as an oracle of God, and put the same unction upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that hears me. Those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, wherever and whenever they do. That the word will have free course from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds are more enlightened with revelation knowledge, and our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Ghost be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men, so that they will become doers of these things which they hear and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word, that I do it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, indeed things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving every single blessing therein in their individual life, said,
amen.
Today I'm going to finish the message I started a few weeks ago. It's a prophetic landmark message called Seeking the Spirit Without Measure. And I'd like to put us into remembrance the fact that the Spirit Without Measure is the fullness of the anointing that was on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is significantly much more than the measure of the Spirit we have already received, firstly in the new birth and in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The new birth and the baptism of the Holy Spirit are characterized by the change in the inner nature, the spiritual nature, and the initial outward evidence of speaking in tongues, which results in casting out devils, healing the sick, so that they will recover. And those things are great, wonderful foundation. However, the scripture reveals to us that it is only an earnest or a deposit of the real, of the full anointing that we are to inherit. And we saw the last time that when this full anointing comes, it will be normal to do the miracles that we see demonstrated so graphically, firstly, in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and secondly, in the early church. It took us many years to have this understanding, but we now have it, and we share it with you. The miracles we see in the early church were actually a consequence of the borrowed anointing of the fullness of the Spirit that was in Christ. It certainly was not the deposit anointing. Couldn't be. Because you see the same miracles under Jesus' ministry being duplicated by the early apostles, Peter, James, and John. Paul, later on, you see them, healing the sick, cleansing lepers, opening blind eyes, the lame walking, the dumb speaking, and ultimately the dead being raised. We know that certainly they couldn't have done that by the Spirit with measure, the earnest anointing. Obviously, it was the spillover of the anointing without measure that was on Jesus that was left in the earth that they were able to key into in the Acts of the Apostles. However, the scripture reveals to us that in the end time which we're in now, this third day, 21st century, the church will experience even a greater glory than that. The scripture tells us in Haggai, it says that the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former. Jesus himself even went a step further, and this is what blows our minds, if we can use that expression, that, you know, we will even do greater works. And for years, I thought about that. I heard different explanations, and they all have elements of truth in them. Some people said, well, you know, being born again is greater than raising the dead, which is true. You know, so in a sense, that's a greater work. But I knew that that was not the complete answer. You know, but a few years ago, God began to show me what God, what Jesus had in his mind, the completeness of it, when he talked about the greater works. Shalan B, put up those mnemonics of the characteristics of the Spirit without measure. The Spirit without measure, you know, is going to produce certain characteristics that have not been seen before. Not even the ministry of Jesus. That's why he said it's going to be greater works. You know, however, these things are in the Bible, or there are examples of them in the Bible, you know, and we are going to see them in their fullness and in the manifestation of in their fullness and manifestation in this third day, in this 21st century, which we are, it's already 2015, so we're expecting with the blood moon and all of that, it to happen anytime now. Let me just share something with you. I got this online now during the worship, and I want to share with you. I mentioned it during the announcements when I said that we should stay ready. And I used a typology given to me by the Holy Spirit, and then I got more light on it as I was sitting down. The Spirit without measure was released upon Jesus the day John the Baptist baptized him. And there were two significant things. I never saw that until now. Two significant things. One, there was a sign in the heavens. The heavens opened. Two, there was a voice. A trumpet. And all it said at that time was, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And after that, nothing. There's a sign in the heaven and a voice from heaven declaring, the Bible says, this, the Spirit came upon him like a dove. So it was released but not manifest. It not produced. There were no miracles the next day. There were no miracles the third day. In fact, the scripture tells us that he was led into the wilderness. And he was there for 40 days. He came back, nothing. You know, and he was walking around, you know, went back to John the Baptist, tried to recruit John. John didn't pick it. But Andrew and Peter and James and John, they picked it. Then later on, Philip and Bartholomew, about six of them, you know, and joined him and went home with him. And they began to walk with him every day. And then a few days after they had started that, unbeknown to any of them, you know, at the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee, the Bible says, and Jesus manifested. It was there. That had been released. But it was manifested. You know, and they said, and his disciples believed on him. Now, in a similar way, the Lord was showing me, and I want to share it with us. Again, just like that time, we're not going to know the day and the hour. Otherwise, the suddenness will be removed. If you know the day and the hour, they won't be sudden anymore. Hello, somebody. Amen. And he kept saying, he repeated it so many times. He said that he will come at an hour you think not. When it came in his time, it came at an hour he thought not. Amen. And no servant is greater than his master. Amen. If it took Jesus by surprise, trust me, it'll take you by surprise. I know you're very spiritual. But I don't think you're at Jesus' level yet. So watch this. And the Lord said to me, there are direct equivalents today. The sign in the heavens, the blood moons. Then the voice from heaven, the prophetic voice, the trumpet. And something happened, Pastor Wega. I fear God. And I don't think this is going to be unique to Olubi Johnson. Though I think there were other people over the world, some other prophets who would have picked this. But at least for me, you know, do you know? And I did not plan it. In fact, when I look back now, I knew the day, but the message came without me correlating it. Amen. On the 13th of September, that was the day of Yom Kippur, and it was the day of trumpets. And I gave the message, covering your sphere of influence. Releasing, because the power of the Spirit without measure is what will... That sphere of influence where I said that, you know, people will experience the blessings of the Spirit without measure, the ages of the age to come, which would include divine protection, healing and health, and basic provision. All right. It's synchronized. I didn't know. You know. And he said, so just like you had the sign in the heavens, and you had the voice, you know, declaring the season of Jubilee. And that's what I'm... Give me Leviticus chapter 25, verse 8. Just a minute. We'll go on in a minute. Leviticus, the 25th chapter and the 8th. Yes. Leviticus. This is the Old Testament type. Now, this happened only once every 50 years. I sent out an article to some of us. There's some guys did some research and all of that, and when you look at the Jubilee cycles, you find that last Jubilee, this is 2016, was 1967. So when you add 49, you get 2015. And what happened then was Jerusalem was taken back by Israel. The other Jubilee cycle was when Israel became a nation, 1948. You can see this sequencing. So this is our own Jubilee now. Amen. Check it out. And this is what happened on the Jubilee. It says you will number 7 days, 7 years, you know. Then verse 9. And you shall cause the what? Trumpet to be blown. When? On the day of Jubilee. Normally, trumpet is blown on the first day of the month. In normal years. But in the Jubilee year, you got two trumpets. One will be blown on the first day of the month. Another one will be blown on the 10th day, which is Yom Kippur. That's what it's called in Israel, which is Day of Atonement. And it is to declare, you say, thou shalt cause, everybody say, oh, read with me. The trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, the Day of Atonement, and you shall make the trumpet sound throughout all the land. Now, back in Old Testament Israel, if they blew the trumpet in Jerusalem, for instance, there's a limit to where you can hear it. Are you listening to me? Yeah, or they blew it in Hebron, or they blew it in Dan, or they blew it in Beersheba, or wherever, you know. But back in those days, because the temple, by the time Solomon built the temple, was in Jerusalem. So all these things were done in Jerusalem. And then, of course, people would carry the news throughout the whole of Israel. But today we've got the internet. So you blow it here, everybody hears it where? Throughout the land. So, you know, these scriptures have literally been fulfilled, you know, throughout all the land. The trumpet of, what does Jubilee mean? It means release. The church has been released. Just like the day of John the Baptist, the heavens were open and the Spirit was released. We now wait for the manifestation. Everybody say release, manifestation. Say release, manifestation. See, God, through the spoken word, the prophetic word, you know, has released. And then now we wait for the manifestation. And that's why we need to stay ready. So going back to the Spirit without measure, the characteristics of the Spirit without measure. Now bring those men. It means the words, you know, string of words that help you to remember something. That's why it has to do with memory. Okay? And these are the five characteristics of the Spirit without measure, you know, on the soul. It's going to give you incredible photographic memory. And that's why that starts with a P. So it's very easy to remember. P-L-A-A-M. Just say plam. Easy. Incredible photographic memory. Incredible language learning ability. That's the L. Incredible artistic ability. That's the A. Incredible musical abilities. That's the M. And incredible mathematical skills. That's another M. So that's a very easy way for you to remember it. And this is not pie in the sky. These things are already things we see, you know, that the human brain is capable of. We see this in autistic savants. That's a French word. You know, when you say somebody has mathematical savvy, say he has business savvy. So the French word is savant, which means to have ability. You know, so autistic savants are men who have incredible all these things, but they have the downside of, you know, being autistic. But the point is this, it's available. That's why it's manifested. So we have people who have incredible photographic memories, incredible language learning skills, incredible artistic abilities, incredible musical abilities. So people who just listen to a piece of music once and you play flawlessly. Some will just look at a book and it will tell you everything inside the book. Just once. It tells that the human mind is capable of it. But why don't we see those abilities in more people and collectively? Because what you see is that you might saw a guy may have photographic, but he may not have language. Or he has photographic and language, and then he doesn't have musical. Or he has artistic, and he has photographic, but he doesn't have, you know, mathematical, and so on and so forth. You know, but what is characteristic of this one is that it's going to be all of them in one person. And no autism. Give the Lord a clap offering. Then the scope. Give me the next slide. Right. The scope of the miracles of Spirit without measure. Now this is what the Lord Jesus had in mind. He said, you know, that's why he said greater. So I used to wonder, what's going to be greater than raising the dead? You know. And that's why I said, you will do the works and greater. You know, so you got physical miracles. Physical miracles include, you know, healing the sick, deliverance, opening blind eyes, the lame walking, the dumb talking instantly, you know, and of course, raising the dead. We got that. Jesus did that. The New Testament, they did that. But the Bible says this glory is going to be greater. So the next one, and that's another simple mnemonic that you can use to remember it, PIPE. So easy, P-I-P-E-E. So physical, everybody say physical miracles. Intellectual miracles. You see that in Daniel, a small measure of it. It says they were 10 times better than their peers. The four Hebrew boys. They had such great intellectual ability. They were far superior to all the magicians and astrologers in Babylon. You know, and that's a small measure of it. We even seen a little bit of measure here in Lifeward, you know. So we pray over the children before they do their exams. And in the last few years, you know, many years now, 10, 15 years, you know, we've been seeing results. And it gets better every year. 9 A stars. It was 1 year, somebody got 100% in history in A level. True. Lifeward has gotten three times, or I think two or three times now, the highest mark in the whole world in Cambridge exams. When all the children in England and all the ones in Japan and all the ones in Hong Kong and all the ones all over the world, when the highest came from Lyford. You know, not once, not twice. Now, three times now. You know, four times. Thank you, Pastor Conley. That's not an accident. Something is happening. Something is affecting the mind of the children. They study, they read like everybody else. Then when they get to the exam, the light comes on. Bingo. It's light. And I experienced that in my own life a little bit, you know, even before I got born again, after I got born again. So I know that these things are there, but we're going to see it in its fullness. Then there are political miracles. We see this again in Daniel, changing the bad governments, you know. Daniel went through about four different kings: Nebuchadnezzar, Belteshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. One man. Well, four. With Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The power was not in Babylon. The power was not in Persia. The power was in Daniel. It was, of course, God, but through Daniel. They ruled those empires. We see it again in Esther and Mordecai. They ruled the Persian Empire. Those are political miracles. Then the next one is economic miracles. Joseph and the famine, and fed the whole world. And everything, you know, everybody. Joseph was the most powerful man in the whole world, and certainly the richest at that time. Our day is coming where the richest people in the world will be born again, spirit-filled, perfection Christians. I was sharing with a Christian recently, you know, and I was saying, we haven't scratched the surface of our prosperity yet. You know why? Our souls aren't saved. So God can't trust us with that kind of wealth. Even the little that we have now, we misbehave with it. You know? But the hour is coming, and now is. We're going to have a bunch of God's people who will have saved souls, and God will be able to entrust the riches of the nations to them. And they will lend to nations and they will not borrow. Are you listening to me? They will be head and not tail, above only and not beneath. You know, when I was a kid, my teenage years, the richest men in the world were Paul Getty and Aristotle Onassis. I know because I read their books. And I wanted to be like them. You know, as a young boy, 17, 18, 19, I was looking how I was going to be a millionaire and all of that. You won't believe that's how God got me born again. God is so smart. You know, anyway, that's another story for another day. But the important point is that back in those days, you know, Getty was worth about $100 million. 100 million. And he was richest than Onassis. You know, Onassis, he was into shipping and oil and all of that. Nobody ever dreamt of billions then. 20 years later, just a generation. I'm talking about, you know, when I was a kid, I was in the 70s, 75, 76, 77, 78, 79. You know, it was my years of graduation and my youth corps. You know, the richest man was worth 100 million. Little did we know that 20 years down the road, amen, we're going to have another set of billion, a set of rich men who will far exceed what had been seen in the world before. You know, and we came into what is known as the microcomputer revolution, the .com. You know, and young boys like Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, who are dropouts. Bill Gates is a dropout from Harvard. Brilliant boy. But he saw something that was bigger than Harvard. But nobody at that time could see what he saw. Same thing with Steve Jobs. They were all young boys, you know, engineers who were interested in electronics, and they were playing around, you know, playing around with electronic kits and all of that. They started in their garage, just playing around with circuits and all of that. You know, there was a lot of spin-off from the Apollo mission. See, after they had gone to the moon and done it two or three times, there was no more thrill there. So the American government laid off a lot of engineers who had worked in the Apollo program. For those of you who do not know, it's important, you know, it's good to have knowledge. You know, the computer that was used to take Apollo 11 to the moon is not as sophisticated as the one in your microwave oven. The amount of computational ability that is inside, and I'm not talking about your computer, I'm talking about your microwave. Oh, your phone is far more sophisticated. That took Apollo to the moon. So you can see in physics what we call a quantum leap of knowledge within a space of only 20 years. And it created, you see, this is what called creation of wealth. You can't get that kind of money from oil. You couldn't get it from shipping. Getty was oil. Onassis was shipping and all of that. This was new wealth that was created by new inventions. And it created a new level of wealth. Today, Bill Gates is still the richest man in the world. You know, he's worth, give or take, $100 billion. So what we were talking of millions in the 70s, now in the late 90s and 2000, we're talking of billions. But God ain't through yet. We're going to make another quantum leap. Amen. Today, only governments dare to talk about trillions. And when they do, they talk about 1 trillion and 2 trillion. 3 trillion. And not even all those are projections. And well, hear the word of the Lord. The end time church is going to be counting money in trillions. Hundreds of trillions. And then they'll have to invent a new name when we move to thousands of trillions, because of the kind of wisdom that he's going to give. And we're going to need that kind of resource to disciple the nations. It's not going to be for showing off. It's not going to be for nonsense and rubbish. In fact, you can't even spend it for that kind of thing. It's too much. Are you listening to me? And so he's preparing us for that. The Spirit realm measure is going to release that. Economic miracles. That's going to translate. We're going to move from the 100 billions, from the millions, we're in the millions now, then to billions, then hundreds of billions, and then we're going to move into trillions, and then hundreds of trillions, 1,000 trillion. You can imagine a body who controls resources of 100 trillion, he will lend to any nation. He won't even feel it. You can put a church in every village with satellite link. Oh, yes. School, hospital, everything that they would need, state of the art. I'm not talking about all this, you know, quacky health centers that you... All it takes is money and vision. See, most people don't have a vision for money. That's why they will never get the money. God can't trust you that kind of money because you don't know what to do with it. You just wind up like Solomon, God forbid. No. This is reserved for the perfect church whose souls are saved, totally humble, revelation knowledge, enlightened mind, so has the intellectual miracles. And then his emotions are totally under control. He doesn't misbehave like Solomon. He's going to use the money for good. Help the fatherless and the widow. fill the earth with the blessings of God. Power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant upon the earth. Then environmental miracles speak of, thank you Lord Jesus, of the miracles of Moses. Moses controlled the environment. And after a while, Pharaoh and his boys agreed that his God is God. He controlled the weather. He controlled the agricultural output. He was just... the Bible says, and the Bible actually speaks in the book of Revelation, that the two witnesses will do the same thing. It says they will smite the earth with plagues as often as they will. It's very interesting. I keep saying this, and I'm going to keep saying it, because what you say will come to pass. I'm going to Israel soon. You know, I've been around. But, you know, my wife and I, very likely next year, I have to go to Israel. I mean, I can't be on this earth and not go to Israel. I'll probably buy a house in Zion. Thinking about it. Yeah. Make an investment in Zion. Right, go to Jerusalem and say, where was Zion? I want to know the place. Yeah, this is where. Because when the tour guides take you around, they show you all the places. They will show you where the castle of Zion was back in those days. They will show you David's tomb. They will show you that, you know, they know all the, you know, all the places. I'm really looking forward to that, you know. So God wants to do a great thing through the church. And incidentally, my last message coincided with Netanyahu's message in the UN. You know, and I want to reiterate what I said that day. Don't fight with Israel, though. No, not, it's not wise. You know, and the perfect church is going to be solidly behind Israel. Now, that does not mean we're going to approve of bad things Israel does. No, no. But what we mean by that is that we're going to, like America has done, you know, protect Israel. Now, I know they do a lot of, some things in Israel aren't perfect, and they do some things they shouldn't do and say. But you see, you have to understand that they're beloved for their father's sake. There's nothing you can do about that. And it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So, might as well just, you know. And then and Israel's, if we can even call them excesses, and they don't have really. I mean, I'm talking about at the world secular level. Israel is not a wicked nation. She doesn't invade. She doesn't, you know, invade other people's nations. She doesn't attack other people. She doesn't do any. No, Israel doesn't have all the vices of many of the other nations. Israel just stays quietly in her corner. She just wants to be left alone to live. It's when you attack her, you will know that she has a God. The only time Israel does is when she's threatened. She's not an aggressive nation. Israel wants to cooperate with every nation. And I thank God for Prime Minister Netanyahu. He enlisted. Do you know how many Nobel Prizes they got in? They has come from the Jews. That mobile phone you are using is Jewish. Your tennis shoe is Jewish. Advances in chemistry and medicine are Jewish. Take the Jews out of something, you got nothing. You know why? God said it. He said, I will bless thee and all the nations of the earth. It's happened. We cannot deny the fact of history. It has happened. It's not going to happen. It has happened. Israel is only 6 million in the world of 7 billion. Let's even just say 0.03%, and have produced more Nobel laureates than all the others. That tells you that somebody who is there, somebody is behind them. So the church has to step up to the plate, so to speak, you know, for us to play our part. So this Spirit Without Measure is going to give us this scope of physical miracles. Everybody say physical miracles. Everybody say PIPE. Okay, easy to remember. Just pie and pee. All right. So it's physical. Everybody say physical miracles, intellectual miracles, political miracles, economic miracles, and environmental miracles. So this is what the Spirit of that measure is going to produce, producing a church that is going to be so powerful politically and economically that literally we will rule the nations. Not from the UN, not from some political, just like Daniel did it, just like Esther and Mordecai did in Persia. But this one will not be Persia alone, it will not be Babylon alone, it will be the whole world. And that rule is not a political rule of oppression and no. It's to bless people. And so that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached unto all nations. There will be no closed nation then. Mark my word. Every nation will open. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and ye everlasting doors, be lifted up. And let the King of glory come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty in battle. Nothing can stand in the face of the power of the Spirit without measure. Are you listening to me? Now, how do we... I we're going to talk about this. And we've seen what it is and why it is to, you know. So, how are you going to get this? By, I'm talking about on an individual basis now. How do you as an individual, you know, seek and obtain this spirit without measure? It's a two-stage development. It's a two-stage process, rather. You first are going to get what we call a borrowed anointing. You have to start like that. What we mean by borrowed anointing is that you will partake of the Spirit without measure by God lending it to you from the Spirit without measure that is upon a person that has grown spiritually and inherited it. Now we have three examples of this in scripture that I can give. The first one, of course, is Moses. God took a portion of the spirit of Moses and put it on 70 elders. In fact, that's where Jesus got his pattern from. See, Jesus, you know, Jesus knew the Bible. The same thing, that's where Elisha, it was the anointing that was on Elijah that God put on Elisha and then gave him a double portion. Then, in the ministry of Jesus, it was the anointing that was on Jesus that he put on Peter, James, Paul, and they duplicated his miracles. Exactly the same Jesus did. They did it. Jesus, you know, amazing, amazing command. He said, freely you have received, freely give. He said, go, cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. And brother, they did. So it's exactly the same thing that's going to happen now. God is going to take... So all God needs... I've shared this before, and I'm going to share it again today. All God needs is one person who breaks through and inherits it. Then from that, he can now take from it and distribute it. When you have one candle and it's light, all the other candles, all the others just come and take the light. And guess what? When they take light from that candle, the other candle does not, its brightness does not diminish. That's why spirit without measure. Couleton. God takes the sound, doesn't affect it. Because as God is taking from it, it's increasing again. It's God. Spirit without measure. He took it off Jesus, put it on 70. He did not decrease the one on Jesus. We haven't seen power. But we're about to see it. Okay? We're in that season now between the release and the manifestation, using the type I gave to you of Jesus' ministry. Because, you know, what I'm doing by the mercy and the grace of God, and I want you to follow me, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, and I'm following that example, is I'm marking Jesus closely. That's why God was able to give me that illustration. Because I asked, I said, what's going on? He said, the same thing happened to you, happened to me. He said, the heavens opened, something, but there was no miracle. I didn't know when it was going to happen. I thought, well, it would happen at the feast. What happened in the party? We don't like to use the word party. But brother, that's what it was, with the reception. It wasn't the church service in the temple. You would have thought God would have shown up at the church service in the temple where the rabbis were. It wasn't where. No, it was in the party. If you can receive it, receive it. That's why I said he will come at an hour you think not. And probably at a place that you think not. Hello? Okay. So how are you going to get this borrowed anointing? There is a parable Jesus, he taught. He used this teaching. I want to use it. Pastor Brigham mentioned it glancingly in one of his messages a few weeks ago. And I want to expatiate on it. Luke chapter 11. God have mercy. Luke chapter 11. And we're going to be reading from verses 5 through 13. And I want you to keep it in its context. And I'll point out some things to you by the Holy Spirit. And then you can key into it. This is open to every individual. Let me encourage you. I'm getting ahead of myself. But let me just encourage you. And this is the word of encouragement. It is not. I'm not saying you should do this. But it is a word of encouragement. If Judas can get their borrowed anointing, you can. Did you hear me? Most of you are even far ahead of all those apostles at that time I'm talking about. If Judas, with all his nonsense, stealing from the bag and all that, he still had the borrowed. Now he lost it. You can lose it because it's not yours. It's borrowed. That's why you have to behave yourself. Are you listening to me? They can give it to you, but if they gave it to you, they can take it back. It's a borrowed anointing. That's why you need to behave yourself. You know, and when I was teaching on this the other time, I'm talking about standing, doing all to stand. I want to repeat what I said, but and then add what I didn't say. That's why it's called the Great and Terrible Day. It's great for those who get the borrowed anointing and keep it. It will be terrible for nobody who got it and lost it. It was, listen to this, it was a great day, the day of Pentecost and the day of the Lord in that context at that time when he came suddenly by his Spirit on the day of Pentecost and the Spirit without measure. Oh my God, I just got another text. The same pattern, Pastor G, on the resurrection morning, Easter Sunday, he breathed, released it, but it didn't manifest until Pentecost. Two witnesses. The Bible says he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Ghost, but no tongues, no power. 50 days later down the road. Same pattern. It's very interesting. Jesus' own must be about 50 days. We don't know the day or the hour, but it was 40 days of fasting, and then we don't know how many days extra. X. But where X is a variable, so it can go anywhere from 40. Just be careful, though. This God is. That's why, you know, he said, in his word, he said, it is in Habakkuk, where he says, you know, the vision is for an appointed time. Watch this. He said, do it, tarry. Shorao. I said in Yoruba, be careful, wait for it, because it will surely come. Watch this, amplified, and it will not be behind on its appointed day. That day is not your day, it's God who appoints it. It will not be behind. The one of Jesus was not behind. It happened on that day of the feast, because God wanted to use the feast of the wedding as a type of Christ and his church.
And he didn't even tell Jesus. He would not be behind. And we're in that time now. Ah! I started out by saying, if Judas can get it, you can. Now, Pastor Quigley, you're not Judas. But I'm just, you know. You see, God gives us extreme examples to give us hope. If somebody as bad as Judas could get the borrowed anointing, surely you can. So listen to me. Luke chapter 5, verse 5. Everybody read with me. And he said unto them, I didn't hear you, neither did God. All right. Which of you shall have a friend? I will say friend one. Shall go unto him at midnight. I will say midnight. And say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. I will say 3 loaves. I will say friend, midnight, 3 loaves. Let's go on. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me. That was a friend number two. And I have nothing to set before him. Verse 7. And he from within, this friend number two now, shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. And my children are in bed with me. Watch this. I cannot rise and give thee. Scripture. Behold, I and the children that God has set before me are for signs and wonders. He has already entered with the children who are ready and the door is locked. That's why this parable is given. Don't give up hope. Next verse. And I say unto you, who is I? Jesus is telling you. He's telling the end time church. He's speaking to us today. This is a prophetic, cutting edge, present truth, rhema word. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Give the Lord a clap offering. But we're not through yet. Hallelujah. Next verse. And I say unto you, he's talking to us in the end time church. In this time, when the thing is coming, it looks as if it's not coming or it looks as if it's late. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 10. For everyone that asketh. I remember one spirit without measure. Ask. Put your hand down. If you want it, seek. If you want it, knock. Hallelujah. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Verse 11. If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Next verse. Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Next verse. If you then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Keep it in its context. How much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? In this context, the Spirit without measure to them that ask. Ah! Now, notice three friends. The person who was asking, that's the person who wants the borrowed anointing. Do you understand?
His friend won. A friend, another friend came at midnight. Jesus, I call you not servants, but friends. He comes suddenly at midnight. Midnight is transition between 2 days.
Yes,
between the day one and day two, day exactly before the manifestation comes. So the friend comes at midnight. Not a very convenient time. A time, thank you. An hour he thinketh not. And says, for you to get this broad anointing, I need 3 loaves. Remember, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He that heareth, if he opens, I will sup with him and he with me. So Jesus dictates the menu. 3 loaves. Pastor Koyga shared this, you know, the other time. You know, what are the 3 loaves? Revelation, he says, the great weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. In revelation of those 3 things. Remember, judgment, discernment, revelation of mercy, love, forgiveness, and faith. Faith to save your soul. Because the end of your faith is the salvation of your soul. Those are the 3 loaves. Oh. So, this guy doesn't have it. So, he goes to meet friend number 3. So, friend number 3 is his pastor. Or the leader who has inherited the spirit without measure. And he has entered in with the children and has locked the door. So he says, under normal conditions, I can't give you. The time has gone. Now you can have 2 attitudes. Shikara mangara. Another text. No koroma katuske frenegas. You know, that's why it's good to pray in tongues. Because when you pray in tongues, you speak mysteries. And then you bring out the wisdom of God. That is beyond the natural wisdom. You can have 2 attitudes. You can be bitter, strong, rebellious, and go away. Say, don't know what's wrong with them. Or you can be like the Syrophoenician woman. And said, just keep following him. I'm not going to stop. Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here for me. And I said, God do. And so on. To, if I leave, if God would not allow me to leave you, say nothing. He said, tarry here for me. As I live, and as the Lord God liveth, I will not leave thee. And he kept following. He did not stop until he got it. How badly do you want the spirit without measure? The prophetic present truth message. This man refused to be discouraged. By the Syrophoenician woman, like Elisha, he kept knocking. He kept knocking. The Bible says, though he wouldn't give to him, he said, but because of his importunity, he will rise and give him what he wants. We've got to close. And this is it. What you need to do, notice the 3-stage process. Everybody say, ask, seek, knock. You ask by asking. You seek by praying in the spirit. And then you knock by acting on the word. All these things I've been teaching you. Do you understand? You ask for it. God, I want it. Then you start praying in the spirit. All kinds of prayer, travel, all the things they told you before that you didn't do. Otherwise, you would have been inside with the children. Start doing them. Start acting on the word. You stay with it long enough, they'll bring the bread out for you. And you will get the borrowed anointing. Let us pray. Talk to God. We know from the types and shadows, it takes about 1 year, 4 months. David in Ziglag. It might take some time, but don't give up. You see other people manifesting. If you haven't manifested yet, don't stop. That's why I entitled it Seeking the Spirit Without. You have to seek it. And God wants to see how determined you really are. Do you really want it? How badly do you want it? How badly did Elisha want the double portion? He wanted it badly enough to go through Jordan. He followed him from Gilgal to Bethel, from Bethel to Jericho, from Jericho through Jordan. And interestingly, he didn't get it until the other side. So it is today. How badly do you want it? If you seek it and you seek it with importunity, if Judas could get it, you can. Now, behave yourself when you get it, because if you don't, you can lose it. Talk to God. raise the other hand.
Let the wind of your presence blow, that your children here might truly know how to move in the Spirit.
Now make it personal. Say, I welcome you.
Holy Spirit,
I welcome you.
I welcome you. I welcome you.
Please accomplish in me. Make it personal.
Oh, please accomplish in me.
Raise that hand, put the other hand on your heart as a symbol of sincerity, determination, honesty, faithfulness to God. And raise the other hand to God as a symbol of dependence. I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so we cling with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Oh, my Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me, this present truth, cutting edge, prophetic word that has come to me to encourage me to seek with importunity the release, the manifestation of the Spirit without measure in my individual life. Oh God, I have heard your word, and I determine by your mercy and grace to seek, to ask, to seek, and to knock, and continue to do so until I experience a manifestation of the Spirit without measure in my life, as I have been taught. My God, I make a covenant with you, like Elisha with Elijah. I will not give up. I will not turn back. I will not be offended. Even though there may be others who get it before me, and I think, oh, I should have got it by now. I will not be offended. 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 Like the Syrophoenician woman was not offended when Jesus called her a dog, but continued to believe, and her faith was honored. I will not be offended. I will continue. I will ask, and I'll continue to seek and knock until I experience the manifestation of the Spirit without measure in this day and hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Nekato frenengala, zikato freka klamatolo, zikato frede klamatolo musha, zefrika klamatolo magaro, zefrini, haha, jekatala pokolo moshangi, tolo matufri dufrushi, zufrike tolo mandangaro. Zufrika glamatulum stufre, Tolomatushka fredesk, Tolomangar stufre, Lake a tofridisk, Zufria, Yokatufre,
Lombrakatusku Fridi Zufri Langar Dolomatushka Fre Dolomangi Tantongi Jela Prakatulomato Freshe Tolomatolomato Freshe Lombrakatulo Tufreka Kamatulom Jeketufre Nanka Gomato Leprakamatolo Mashtofre Ambrakamato Jekitufre Lombrakamatolo Mashande Zefrine Tolomatolo Mashtafredeles Nifredeles Jukitofres Zufrinis Lupridelas Jekitofrinis Zufrenenes Zofrenengaras Zikitufris Liprenengaras Jukitofres Zufrinis Tolomangaras Zufrinis Jelepres Tofridias Zufridiga Tufrines Jekitofrines.
In Jesus' name. Just before we pray for our healing, this word that has come today is prophetic in the sense that it's going to be fulfilled after the glory has started manifesting. I want to say this. There may be people, and I say me, because number one, I'm not God. I don't know everything. Secondly, God is such a kind person, and He's always looking out for us. He wants the best. That's why God gave this message, just to encourage people. So there may be people who initially you won't get it. There are many people. I didn't say everybody, but I said there are many who are not obeying our instructions up till now. They don't do what they're told. Or they do a Saul version of it. A Saul version, I use that as a prophetic typology, is a watered down version of what you were told. Saul did not do what Samuel told him. He did a part of it and watered it down. Many people fall into that category. I know it's sobering, but it's true. I'm your pastor, I know. And when the glory comes, you won't go in first. This message, that's why it's given before the time. Like Jesus preached about eating his flesh and drinking his blood before, like a year or two before he died and the communion was instituted. In the same manner, many of these prophetic messages that have been coming are prophetic in the sense that their fulfillment is ahead of us. I'm not talking about hundreds of years, I'm talking about weeks, months. So, as some people, and that's the reason why the message has come, you don't have to wait. Start now, if you haven't been doing it. So that you'll be in bed with the... I and my children are for signs and wonders. They got the borrowed anointing instantly. Bam! They didn't have to wait. But peradventure, that's why God is encouraged. That's why the word has come ahead of time. Now, we're not talking about long amount of time. We're talking about a few days. Only God knows. You know? Because we're already in that time frame now. You know? But peradventure, it does not happen to you as an individual. Number one, the fault is never God's, it's yours. You're doing a Saul version. I use that typology of what we told you to do. I didn't say you're not doing anything. But are you doing what you were told to do, or your own version of what you were told to do? Now, that's why again today I had to re-emphasize it. That little, I said, go and study it with the Bible. Don't just be mouthing things mechanically and not understanding. Go back to your Bible and I hear, okay, that's why Pastor said, I hear Holy Spirit, okay, I understand. So when you are doing, doing with faith and understanding. People say, oh, life is just mechanical. It's only mechanical for you because you're not doing it with the right heart. It's not mechanical at all. When you do it, while I was teaching the other time on wisdom and power. I never pray with life scriptures absent-mindedly. Never. And I've been doing it for 30 years. I pray and I visualize the flow of the life of God. I visualize the blood cleaning me, the life flowing into my belly, converted to power into my chest, and then out through my mouth. I do it for every scripture. I don't just talk. It's from the heart. That's why Jesus said, whoever shall say and believe in his heart and shall not die, then he will have what he says. He won't have what he says if he just says and he doesn't believe in his heart. I love you so much. I don't want any single one of us to miss what is coming. It's coming, oh. It's 80 days. You don't want anyone. That's why these messages have come, to encourage you to peradventure. If it comes and you're not ready, or it didn't come through you at that time, don't give up. Remember the parable. Keep knocking. Keep asking. Ask. Knock. Seek. And don't stop until. Don't get offended. The Syrophoenician woman could have left hours before. Jesus didn't even answer her. He was just doing, you know. They finished the synagogue. Jesus was just going with his people. You know, got to the house. Maybe Mary, and they were cooking. And they was, you know, God was just relaxing. She was outside. It was Peter who came and said, oh God, I mean this thing. The woman is there shouting, you know. Jesus said, you don't understand. She said, dog. I'm not sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But that woman refused to be offended. So don't get offended. Don't get angry with God. If it doesn't happen through you, when it should happen, the fault is yours. You have not been doing what you were told to do. And like I shared when I was using the illustration of the toilet, those of us who are doing it, it's not as if we are perfect, or we don't make mistakes. We do. We slip up. But the difference between you and us is that we clean up immediately and we're consistent. That's all. You know as well as I do, Peter was not perfect. Neither was John. Neither was Philip or Andrew. Or any of them. None. Yet they got it. Even Judas. So you will make it in Jesus' name. Take it more seriously now. Now. So you don't have to go through all that rigmarole. But if peradventure you do, then do. Put one hand on your body. Raise your other hand to God. Healing is very important. We've seen some, you know, what we're dealing with now, hitherto, you know, it's been the spirit with measure. And we've seen God give us divine health, divine healing. I've seen miracles of healing in my personal life. But the day is coming, and now is, the hour is coming now is, when the spirit without measure is released, it's manifested, you will see complete and total healing. Everything in your body will work perfect. Older people will start getting younger. Reversal of age. Somebody saw a picture of my wife and I, you know, carrying Zoe Asta on the Facebook or wherever, where they put the, you know. Say, are you so young? She looks so young. Well, some pastors, I saw them, you know, on the plane. So I said, my youth is being renewed like the eagles. They say, yes. These people, I'm older than them, but they look older than me. Many years older than them. But you would think they are older and I'm the younger. The life of God is working. We've seen the measure. But we're going to see the fullness. This is the greatest party in the whole world. Don't miss it. Nothing is worth it. That television program is not worth it. That magazine is not worth it. That newspaper that takes your time is not worth it. My boys are laughing.
Nothing is worth it. Nothing. Nothing in this life. That's why he said, I tell you a parable. He said, a pearl of great price. He said he went to sell everything. That's what the kingdom is like.
Last thing I'll say before I close, I pray. I mentioned the other day, and I want to, it just came. You can never compare the glory of Joseph to the glory of his brothers. Don't throw it away. You can't compare. They were there. They had food and raiment, but they did not partake of the glory. Joseph alone got a double portion. He alone ruled Egypt. His brothers were there, but they were just there. That will not be your story in Jesus' name. Put your hand on your body. Raise your hand. Say, Father, I confess our sins. I'm so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. By the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection, life and power, we are healed. I've been legally set free. I have been legally set free from sickness and disease because Jesus himself took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. Therefore, sickness has no legal rights in my body, and I will not permit it to stay in my body. I will not accept it. I will not invite it. I have been healed legally by the stripes of Jesus. And now, by the resurrection life and power that was wrought in Christ when he was raised from the dead, by the same Holy Spirit that is inside me, I release that resurrection life into my body, making it healing and medicine to all of my flesh, from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, into my heart, my liver, my kidney, my blood vessels, every cell, the DNA of every cell of my body to operate error-free in the name of Jesus. And so I say, I keep, I live in divine healing and health, and I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's pray this prayer and pray seriously. In Jesus' name, I'm just going to pray a prayer God just put in my heart. And I release upon you the power of the Holy Spirit to meet every immediate need. Physical, material, emotional, in Jesus' name. Amen. Join hands with your neighbor. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living.
with long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto you the anointings of Enoch, of Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to neighbor and say, you will receive the Spirit without measure, because you will ask, you will seek, and you will knock until you get it. God bless you. Have a great week. Give them a high five as you go.